Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our question and answer series, I was teaching what the work of the Holy Ghost is. Listen closely today.
And when the earth shall crumble, I will plant my feet on this firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
Now he says in verse 24, but if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all and judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. Okay, remember the Holy Ghost in you. And when the Holy Ghost, what does his work do? It convicts of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. That's what's happening here. When these people hear prophesying in their language, then they get right with God. They're falling down on their face. They're worshiping God. The speaking in tongues and all of them at once does not do that. Verse 26, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course. Now, the word course there means one at a time. No more than one at a time. And if it is more than one at a time, it is out of tune with Scripture. And at the most, three people is all in a church service. At the most three. He said, let it be by two, at the most three. It's not desirable, but he says, even at the most three, but don't go beyond that. But then he adds, and let one interpret. There should always be an interpreter. I did not send this illustration I'm going to give you right now to this listener, but there's a theologian named Charles Feinberg. I believe he taught at the Dallas Theological Seminary years ago, but he went into a church service where they were all speaking in tongues, and he spoke up. Now, evidently they were trying to do it one time. He stood up and he spoke. And he sat down, and somebody across the way stood up to interpret what he said, and he's talking about, well, he was talking about adultery and being pure and things like that. And he spoke. Feinberg stood back up and says, no, you're wrong. I just quoted the Psalms chapter 1 in its entirety in Hebrew. Well, Feinberg said they chased him out of there. But you see, they had an interpreter. Well, that interpreter was completely wrong. Now, many times a missionary may come to our church that we support or wants to gain support from us, and they report on their ministry. And many times they'll say something in a tongue of the field in which they are called. It might be a greeting, but they'll say a few words. It might be even a Bible verse, but then they'll follow it up by telling us what they just said in English. Okay, that pretty well tells you what's going on. Verse 28 says, but if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. And let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one. Okay, just one at a time. That all may learn. See, your preaching, your teaching is for people to learn. Now, prophesy here. It's not necessarily foretelling the future. Sometimes it's just foretelling truth. And I believe that that's the idea here, that they all may learn and all may be comforted. Verse 32, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Okay. Other words, they're not given to devils and demons that can give them this false stuff, because angels of light is what the devils seem to parade as, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verses 13 through 15, to deceive. Why? Satan is a deceiver. He's the father of deceit. He's the father of lies. So, and the spirits of the prophets are subject unto the prophets. And then verse 33, for God is not the author of confusion. Now, the man who wrote me the letters did say there, as I read to you at the beginning, that he didn't like this stuff where it's all messed up, but he thought people could speak in tongues under the Holy Ghost. And this is really, look at those that all speak at once, and God's not the author of confusion. He says, again, verse 33, but God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted for them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience as saith the law. Now, I believe that this one verse is obeyed, it would stop much of the tongues movement. Since the command is for the woman to keep silence, and in other places the women are not to teach men or to usurp authority over them, then it only makes sense for them to speak in tongues only with women. To speak in tongues with men present is sin. But again, the tongue is a language that is an unknown to most in that locale, but is very clear to a man from that place, whether it's French, German, Spanish, or whatever. Now, I've not covered everything on this subject. And I, again, do not mean any ill will. We do disagree, but I believe this should help you understand why I say, Romans 9, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity, three divine personages in one divine essence. So I speak to you in Christian love, and I thank you for your letter, and hope you receive mine in the same way. Well, this was a tremendous letter that we received from this man, and I am just really amazed by the fact that he wrote me so kindly. And, you know, if people, when it's all right to disagree, something you hear, you can disagree or ask a question about. You've heard different kinds of questions in this series. This series is posted on our website. And so this gives you an opportunity to go back and listen. And maybe something you didn't understand to begin with, it'll help you now. But you know what? A lot of these questions I answered are of a spiritual nature for Christians. But yet, even this answer today about the fullness of the Holy Ghost or the baptism of the Holy Ghost and things of tongues and things of that nature, what I want you to understand is that that means absolutely nothing to you if you do not know that if you died today that heaven's your home. Now, my friend, the Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That includes me, and that includes you. The idea of come short of the glory of God has the idea of we continually come short of His glory. What is the glory of God? Well, the glory of God is Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. You're not measured to me, and I'm not measured to you. We're not compared to one another. We're compared to Jesus Christ, and we all fall short. All have sinned, we're told. Then in Romans 6:23, he says, for the wages of sin is death. He didn't say a big sin, something that's really bad, a whole lot of sin. No, he just said, for the wages of sin is death. That is final, complete separation from God forever in the lake of fire where your spirit will never cease to exist, where it will never escape, and you're tormented day and night forever. That's grim, isn't it? Grim news. But there's also good news. But the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's Romans 6:23, the second half of that verse. See, the first half says for the wages, what you and I have earned, what we have come to us, the wages of sin, we've earned because we've all sinned and go to hell. But God's gift, something we don't earn, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace, that is God's grace, are you saved through faith, your faith in Him. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So it's God's gift. We read in Romans 5:8 that God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, just like we are in our worst state, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Do you realize that when Jesus was dying on the cross, He was dying for every sin you ever have or ever will commit? He did that for me. He did that for you. Hey, I wasn't alive yet when He died, but He paid for all sin that would ever be committed, as well as all that had ever been committed. The price was paid. He shed His blood and died on the cross. He was buried. 3 days later, He arose bodily from the grave. So, knowing that, and believing God, now you got to say God lies, the Bible lies, and He doesn't. If you want to be saved, you must receive it as the truth. So He says in Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, Lord is the name of His deity. He was God. Emmanuel, God come in the flesh. Jesus, His humanity. He was 100% God, 100% man. So that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You see, Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. He had no sin, knew no sin, but he became the sin bearer for us, and all of our sin was placed upon him. That's what it means in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So, my friend, we find that our sin was placed upon him. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. See, the righteousness is that we don't believe so hard that we become so good. No, we believe unto the righteousness of Christ. That makes us accepted in him. With the mouth confession is made to salvation. Then Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, my friend, calling upon the Lord, this salvation decision, is as strong and even stronger than a marital vow, a marital call. You see, in marriage, you give your vows and you say, I do. This is saying I do to Jesus Christ. This is listed in the Bible, Ephesians 4:32, on that level. So you're his. You have the place that the lady would have as being subject unto her husband. Christ has a place of being the head. And so you're entering that relationship with him, but knowing he loves you, and he'll give you everlasting life. And what you must do is say yes to him. So just like when a young man and young lady get married, he has to turn from those girlfriends, she has to turn from those boyfriends and turn to just one. Or say, I'm not going to be single anymore. I'm not going to be just to myself. I want somebody. Don't want to be lonely anymore. But whatever it is, it's turning from self, it's turning from the world, it's turning to Christ, trusting him for your salvation. He died for you, was buried and rose from the dead. Now, what you need to do, believe in that, call upon him to save you. I'm going to form a prayer. The prayer that I form would only be words if you don't mean it. But if you mean it, would you pray this prayer right now, right where you are? Dear God, I know I'm a sinner, and please forgive me of my sins. I believe Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross and died for my sin. I believe that 3 days later, he rose from the dead. I right now invite Jesus Christ into my heart and my life as my Lord, as my God, as my Savior. Save me right now. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. My friend, if you just prayed that prayer with me and you meant it, would you email us? Our announcer will be giving you our website through which you can email us, or you can mail us at our physical address. We'd love to hear from you. Or you can even go to our website and call us from wherever you are, and get our telephone off our website. But my friend, contact us. We want to know. We want to rejoice with you. I also have on our website, centralbaptistocala.org, that our announcer will give you. On the left-hand column, you'll see booklets by Dr. Andy Bloom. If you just received Christ your Savior, I would encourage you to click on that and go to the one that says building blocks, because that's for somebody that's just received Christ as Savior. And it'll help you in how to grow now in your new life that you've been saved. I hope that you will do that. And what a blessing that would be. Well, I want to thank you for listening to the Lamplight broadcast today. And that concludes our question and answer period. So please ask others to listen, because that's how the Lamp and Light grows. My friend, may the Word of God be the lamp that you follow today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening, and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the Sermon Library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible says, I will plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible.